AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Hour 3, you guys know what that means. I'm joined by my friend OKC Bubba at BDMtrick on the Twitter machine. Bubba, what is going on, my man?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Fun Thursday night game that we got to experience this evening. And baseball's over, which stinks. But other than that, you know, can't complain too much.
Well, look, the Braves are World Series champs. Took it in six away from the Houston Astros. Fun series. I was telling Welsh this a little bit earlier. Do you watch the celebration or any of that stuff?
A little bit. I didn't watch too much this go around, but I usually try to watch some of it. Yeah.
So to me, it felt weird because I don't know. I like the interviews in the locker room where they're pouring beer or champagne on each other stuff. But it just felt like, I don't know how much of this you saw, but it just felt like they were in the locker room a little too long. Yeah. And like that stuff's for the players, I feel like. So
yeah, no, I agree. Like part of it, I think let them party and then let them come out to a podium and interview them later. That's what I would say. Like I know they want the instant reaction and they want this and that. And I get some of that. At the same time, these guys just like crushed a dream that they've had their entire life. Let them go. Like anything they're going to say right now probably is going to be the wrong thing to say or make no sense at all.
I mean, and we know from a bunch of stuff recently, don't be saying the wrong stuff or doing the wrong stuff, really.
Trouble everywhere.
If you haven't learned your lesson by now, when are you going to learn it? You know, good Lord.
Pretty much.
I mean, just so much crazy stuff going on this week. You know, obviously the Henry Ruggs stuff was terrible. Your guys at Barstool aren't having the best day.
My guys
today.
At Barstool. Well, listen to this. Yeah. Haven't you learned how to not say the wrong things, Bogman? Someone's gonna take that the wrong way.
Come on, dude. Half the country watches Barstool. So
I know, but
you've told me you like Portnoy ever.
So. No, I don't. I think I said if they distance themselves from him, they'd be the best thing they could do, but they can't because it's his baby.
Right. He did make it. So, yeah. Look, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the actual World Series and not what you're not supposed to do. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the fuck is it called
In This League?
Because who could be scared of it?
In This League.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he? What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm
In This League.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody, In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, joined by Casey Bubba. Bubba, tell everyone where they can find all your great stuff and things and what you're working on this time of year on the interwebs.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at BDEntrick, as most of you know by now. And the Benched with Bubba podcast is my baby. It's coming out twice a week right now, fantasy baseball coverage to keep you kind of going. It's a little slow stuff for now, but we're getting you ready for 2022 as we get going. Also, the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. It's the fall swing. It's not all the big names. There's a lot of big names in Mexico this week, but still not the most exciting tournaments in the world. But we have that kind of fun stuff going on right now. You can find my written content, DFS and season long, over at rotoballer.com. Some work at fantasydegens.com. My rankings will be out pretty soon. And then also I'll be working on the Fantasy Black Book. I believe it's the 11th year for the baseball edition now. Doing your catchers and your first base previews. That'll be dropping in December. So keep an eye out on that. And I know I'm forgetting something, so just follow me on Twitter. You'll get all the rest of it. Oh, and a lot of Line Star stuff with Bogman. I record with Bogman almost every night. So
I know. It's, you know, it was funny because when we were recording literally every night, except for Saturday night, I think Friday, Saturday, were our two nights away from each other during baseball season. And that first weekend where baseball ended and we didn't have a Sunday night show, I texted you on Sunday night. I was like, I miss you.
You know? I feel so naked right now.
It's been 2 days, so haven't heard from you. It's going to be three, so it's very weird. So the baseball season wraps up. Braves win the World Series over the Astros. You know, we're happy, of course, because the Giants don't, or the Dodgers don't win. I'm also happy because the Giants don't win, but you know, not you so much.
Not so much.
But your boy Buster Posey retired right after the season.
It was dusty in my office today. Really dusty.
Was it? You got something in both your eyes?
Yeah, so. It was allergies. Like, then I read Barry Zito's like 5 tweet like thank you to him, and I was just like, Barry Zito, it brought back memories. Track. It was actually really. You can tell he's an artist. Let's put it that way, because he was very, he was very like poetic about it and stuff. It's very, very well done, is what I'll say.
I just remember Barry Zito wearing sunglasses inside during an interview, and someone asking him like, "What makes your curveball so good, Barry?" And he's like, "I don't know. You'd have to ask God." And I was like, "Wow."
Barry Zito didn't throw as hard, but he's probably one of the closer things to Nuke LaLoosh you'd ever find. He didn't have the million-dollar like fastball, but just the kind of mantra and zen around him, very similar stuff.
So let's put a bow on this season, even though are awards out in the next month or so?
They come out the next few weeks. I know they did semifinalists like a week ago. I think finalists come out Monday or Tuesday. And then I play like a week or two later, they'll do the actual awards.
Dude, all I need is Peralta to win the Gold Glove over Pollock. How can Pollock be up for a Gold Glove?
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Peralta's won Gold Gloves before. So yeah. Hopefully
he's deserving, no doubt in that.
Hopefully he gets it. But your synopsis on the 2021 season, of course, you know, it wasn't the full weirdness that COVID was. But it was the first year after COVID, so there was still some strangeness going on. I know a lot of people expect a work stoppage coming up here. I hope they can work something out. And I'm holding that hope out. I mean, everyone is preparing for it. I'm not. I'm going to act like we're not going to have one. We'll see, though. Maybe I'm being a little too optimistic. But your thoughts on the 2021 season as a whole here?
It was great, but I'm a diehard baseball fan, so I pretty much will take whatever it takes. But it was good. We had some teams like the Braves and some others that kind of showed up and surprised a lot of people, while you still had some of the big juggernauts doing their thing. You know, in the NL West, it's crazy having 200 win teams battle it out. You had the Yankees and the Red Sox doing their thing. So you still had the big teams with like the Rays and the White Sox getting their things. And then it was fun. You had some of the young faces making some noise. You got Corbin Burns kind of going towards the top of the mantle as the next big thing pitching wise, but it was fun. I love baseball, obviously. So it was good. I'm looking forward to 2022. And like you said, the Dodgers didn't win, so I'm happy.
Yeah. The Dodgers did not win, which makes us very, very happy. So Larry, the MVP, you think that was the right call, right?
That was the right call, especially after that moonshot that was just so violent and so
over the train at the tracks. Same
time. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you saw it. It was a couple of the reporters went looking for the ball because it was out of the stadium and they found it. And the mark where the bat hit the ball was amazing. It was
not see that.
It was so good. Solaire deserved it. It was good to see that he kind of got it. One of the guys they traded for that kind of made that big of an impact. He had jock jams, you know, pearl necklaces, and just the party attitude that he had. Like, amazing. The more stories that keep coming out with Jock, like, I guess Harry Styles said something about the Braves when he was in Atlanta on a show. So Jock sent him an autographed shirt that said, "From one kick a B to another." That's how he autographed it. Like, just like the thing, this team had some swagger to him that I think not enough people knew about until the World Series. It was pretty fun.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely a fun squad. And, you know, it was, you know, everyone was talking about it after the game, you know, in the little interviews and stuff. Great group of guys, you know, all that stuff. So, huge to see Atlanta win. And that was their first World Series since 95, too. I know, you know, I do CFP winning edge with two guys from the Atlanta area, Nick and Xavier. And Nick doesn't live in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area anymore, but Xavier still does. And he was up late celebrating that championship, went out and he showed up to the CFP winning edge pod on Wednesday afternoon. He's got his champs hat on. He's got a shirt on. He's got a couple pennants, all kinds of stuff. And he's like, "Oh yeah, my bank account took a pretty big shot yesterday."
So I remember seeing the day after they showed lines at Dick's Sporting Goods and at the Atlanta area.
Yeah,
that were like out the door trying to buy gear right out the gate. It's pretty cool to see because that's the fun of this.
It's a baseball town. As much as they love the Falcons and they have UGA and the Hawks and everything, it's a baseball town for what I can remember. You know, because I mean that, you know, it's funny listening to the Tomahawk Chop. Everyone our age, Bubba, that is your childhood. You grew up watching that on TBS, TNT,
baby.
Or TBS, right? And, you know, just seeing them win was fun. I tell you what, I mean, I'm glad that not a lot of my neighbors are listening to this show, right? Because they'd be very mad at me for not supporting the hometown Astros.
Hey, how funny was it to watch them just completely destroy them at home to clinch it? Not even a close game. Just
and I like... I like the Nationals sending that tweet out like, "Hey Braves, that visiting dugout in locker room in Houston's a fun place to celebrate your championship, isn't it?" So,
and then I saw, I can't remember if it was the Braves. It had to be the Braves. Something that's after like celebrating, they wrote on Twitter, "Thanks Mets, we couldn't have done this without you."
Oh Lordy, the Twitter trolling.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the parade on Friday. I know people know we record on Thursday, so by the time you listen to this, the parade will have happened. But that group, like from what I remember, the first one, the Giants one, there wasn't one sober guy in the group. Because it was like it's been so long since they won. So these guys are tearing, like Freddie Freeman getting his first one, Jock Jams. These guys, it is a nonstop like 24-hour party. The interviews on the stage at the parade's over, like you could tell not one of them is sober. You said it's a baseball town. It's going to be an electric factory, that parade. Yeah, so
for sure
it's going to be awesome.
So just, I guess quickly about the free agents that are available, your Giants have some money to burn here, right?
Yep.
So
it's been the plan.
Are they going to re-sign Gossman? Is that like option one?
I think they'll at least send him an offer out there. So if he doesn't take it, we get a draft pick. That's for sure. They're going to do that. They'll probably try to give Belt a more team-friendly deal, but like part of me wants him to go get paid and go hit in a ballpark where you hit 35 home runs because it's not AT&T. So I got a wish list for pitchers. Give me Marcus Stroman and Eduardo Rodriguez. Give me those two right now. I'd be very, very happy with those two. And then start building the offense around it. You know, they got a lot of young pieces coming up soon, so you don't have to go crazy. But a guy like Nick Castellanos is now a free agent.
Are you
along those lines?
If they sign Carlos Correa, are you happy or sad?
They won't because they just gave Crawford money, and we have Luciano coming up. They're not going to sign a shortstop.
Nobody can move to third or second?
I'd be surprised. Not Crawford. Okay. Crawford ain't moving.
All right. Okay. I mean, he's won a Gold Glove before, right?
Yeah, he's not moving.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I threw that out there because
Correa's going to Detroit. Money, but...
Detroit's a good, yeah, that's what I see too, Lynn, with Hinch. So that makes a lot of sense. Well, when we come back, you know what we guys do in hour three. We look at these games. We've already made our picks on Line Star, but we go over what we want to see in them. So stick with us. We'll be right back to do that after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Please check out the ITL Patreon if you go to patreon.com/ITL Army or go to InThisLeague.com. That will take you there. We've got GroupMe rooms, live streams, rankings, all kinds of stuff over there. Please check it out if you would. Bubba, Thursday Night Football, as we're recording this, we usually wait till the game is over, but this game was over at halftime. Mm-hmm. So we picked up a little bit early. There's about 3 minutes and 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Mike White gets hurt, so the Jets have to go all the way down to fourth string QB. Josh Johnson here. You know, just didn't look great for them. Johnson, not a horrible game.
He's doing okay, all things considered.
Yeah, the defense just put them in a bad position because the Colts have 45 points, you know. Yep. So Jonathan Taylor ripped off a huge touchdown run. Looked like he had gotten hurt in the first quarter, and I was really concerned because guillotine, I'm still alive, and I've got Jonathan Taylor, and I needed him to have a huge game because my other starting running back is James Robinson, and I'm not sure if he's even going to play this weekend. Yep. So big question. So we'll see about that. But, you know, Colts win this one going away. Just your quick thoughts on this game.
That's good to see the Colts bounce back. You know, they should have had that W against the Titans last week. Yeah. You got JT involved. You got Wentz making plays. Pittman still looked good. They took advantage of a bad team. What the Bengals couldn't do, the Colts did on a short week. Now they can go get healthy heading into week 10. So that's pretty much the gist of it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you do if you're the Jets, though? Because Mike White looked so good against Cincinnati. His he only had two drives in this game, and he scored on one of them. Do you go back to Zach Wilson? I mean, they did make him the, you know, whatever, third pick in the draft. Or are you sticking with Mike White for this week? I think they might have a bye after that.
I'd stick with Mike White personally, just because I don't think Zach Wilson's ready, and White can at least keep him in games. Maybe he can learn a few things. I know they want Wilson to keep getting his feet wet, but he looks so lost out there, like insanely lost. Or even Johnson's moving the ball. I know it's more of a prevent defense late in the game, but he's still making passes that I haven't seen Zach Wilson make. So yeah. That's why I didn't understand the Wilson pick to begin with. Like BYU, great, all fun, but this is different. Like Urban Meyer says, it's like playing in Alabama every week. BYU didn't play Alabama. They lost to Coastal Carolina, I believe. So we got a different ball game here.
Yeah. But, and as we're speaking, they make it a little closer with a touchdown pass to Ty Johnson. So, you know, now it's within 15 with 2.5 minutes left. But yeah,
backdoor cover coming up.
Yo, absolutely. Yep. Hey,
they're going to go
for two here because I guess it'd still be down two touchdowns, but no, and they're not doing it. They're kicking the field goal. So the extra point. So interesting. But let's talk about this week's crop of games here. And like I said before, you know, Welsh and I already made picks on this show. Bubba and I made picks on Line Star. So if you want to hear picks, you can either go back to hour one and two or go to me and Bubba's show on Line Star. So but we just talk about what we want to see here. Tyrod Taylor coming back against your Miami Dolphins. Your Dolphins are favored in this one. What do you want to see here? Just the Dolphins get back on track?
Yeah, I want to see the Dolphins. Like, we've seen Tua play well the last couple of weeks, mainly playing from behind on paper. This is a week where they should be ahead or at least, like, close in this game. So I want to see Tua keep taking the right steps. You had a healthy Devontae Parker for now. Keep Waddle involved. I looked back on some of the numbers today, and he had, like, 12 targets, only caught 4 balls. So it wasn't like they ignored him. The production just wasn't there. So keep using this passing game. I know we want to see Gaskin and company, but I think this team's built to throw. So let's go down the field somewhere that we talk about every week. Get Waddle down the field, use that. And then I want to see Tyrod. Like, he was a beast for a game and a half, like really, really good for a game and a half. Gets Cooks involved, gets some other pieces involved. I think it's with we said this on the Lions Star show that if Tyrod comes back, this is a really sneaky good fantasy game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Welsh has – you guys have more confidence in Tyrod than I do, and I like Tyrod. A lot of fun to watch with Vaught Tech. But, you know, I don't know. You know, there's a reason why he's been on 18 different teams or whatever it's been, you know, because he's just okay. You know, he's – you know, the same. It's the same deal as people being obsessed with Ryan Fitzpatrick, in my opinion. Like, he's fun to watch.
Watch your tongue.
He can get you a win, but he will also easily lose you a game. And I think Tyrod kind of sits in that same category, a guy that can win it for you, but can easily lose it for you. Denver on the road against the Dallas Cowboys. big spread here in favor of Dallas. What do you want to see out of that one, Bob?
Dak coming back. I want to see him stay healthy. That'd be a big start. Like, get out there, get some reps in. We've said it time and time again. Teddy doesn't look healthy, but I'd like to see them still move the ball against the Dallas defense that you can move the ball on. So I want to see Dallas take care of business pretty easily. At the same time, wouldn't mind seeing Denver get some fantasy production for us with like the likes of Albert O, our boy, getting the start there for Fonch, and then, you know, Sutton and Judy working together again.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see Teddy B throw the ball deep because I think we know what we're going to see from Dallas. We're going to see the offense clicking. Doesn't really matter if they do it with passes, if they do it with runs from Zeke and Tony Pollard. I think they're going to be clicking on all cylinders. I mean, you know, Denver just traded away one of their best pieces on defense and Von Miller to get some picks back because they know this ain't the season for them. So, you know, but I want to see them stay in it on offense. So I want to see those deep passes to burn Diggs with Sutton and to burn Brown with Judy and Albert O catching the ball over the middle. You know, I want to see them get vertical here is what I want to see. So we'll see if they do that. Cleveland at Cincinnati, ugly game. Cincinnati looked horrible last week. Cleveland looked unbelievably beat up last week. So where's the middle ground? Who wins this game?
I'm looking for a bounce back Cincinnati game. I think this is kind of a sneaky spot because I'm just not a Cleveland believer. Sure, they played some good defensive games at the same time as they've struggled as well. So I want to see, you know, maybe they were kind of, you know, too pumped up last week after a big W against the Ravens, and it caught them with their pants down. So let's get a bounce back at home against a Cleveland team that cannot move the ball offensively, and see Burrow and Chase and Higgins and company do some damage. I think it's a big mixing game too. So I want to see Cincinnati bounce back big and show that they still belong at the top of the AFC North.
I think that's what we're going to see, but you know what I want to see.
You want to see both of them end in a 0-0 tie.
No, I want to see escalator of sadness.
Yes.
Because it's in Cincinnati. That means Cincinnati. You
want the Browns to win, which, oh, man, it'd be horrible.
I do want the Browns to win, but it's because if the Bengals lose, the Steelers can tie them for first in the North. So
the funniest part, though,
would I guess be it wouldn't be because the Ravens are still first in the North.
The funniest thing would be, though, if the Browns did win without OBJ, the, you know, social media would be going.
They would just cut him. I think not because, you know, just out of spite or whatever. I think they should cut him. I mean, having a guy like that in your locker room, this is not fantastic at all. It's
not good at all. Not good at all.
Minnesota at Baltimore. Baltimore favorites in this game. We saw Minnesota just not get it clicking on offense last week. What do we want to see here?
I like to see Minnesota get it going. Like you said, it's not a primetime game, so maybe it's a nice bounce-back spot for Kirk Cousins and company. At the same time, I think it's a big Baltimore game. We talked about it on the Lion Star DFS show. I think the Hollywood Brown connection and the Bateman connection with Lamar is going to be a big one because that Minnesota secondary is very, very exploitable. So I think we see Baltimore coming off the bye week in a big, big way. And I like Minnesota, but I don't know if they got what it takes to keep up in this one.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think Baltimore wins this game. But if we get good Kirk Cousins, Baltimore is dead last in pass defense.
Yeah, that's why it could be interesting.
So hopefully it's I hold out hope that it's interesting. But you guys know, I mean, I took Baltimore. So yeah. I do think they're going to win this game. And I have Marquise Brown and DFS lineups, and I got him in my season longs where I could because I think he is going to have a huge game here. So
he's my touchdown call of the week.
They just don't have speed in the secondary in Minnesota.
He should bust one, at least one over the top on them in a big way.
At least one. Here's an interesting game for you, Bub. The Raiders on the road against the Giants this week. Obviously a lot going on with Vegas off the field. At least they're traveling and getting out of town for a weekend, going to see the Giants in New Jersey here. What do you want to see in this one?
I want to see the Raiders stay the course. See Derek Carr continue to develop in a good way. Get, you know, it's going to be Renfro and company, maybe a healthy Waller involved. But what I also want to see is Josh Jacobs is not on the injury report for the first time in forever coming off that bye week. That Giants defense is bad against the run. So I could see Jacobs having a day, see Booker having a day on the flip side because both defenses struggle against the run. But in the end, I think it's going to be a better football game than we think, some points on the board. But I want to see the Raiders go into New York and get a W with, like, they've already had controversy a few weeks ago. They got it again. It's not really controversy, but drama, per se, surrounding the team. So let's see if they can stay the course and pick up another W because they're still near the top of the AFC West. So stay strong, boys.
Yeah, I want to see how much Henry Ruggs actually impacted this offense. We, you know, talked about it when he was playing, and obviously he will not be playing another down in the NFL, doesn't seem like. But when he was playing, they were only giving him like four targets a game. So yeah. Was he actually stretching the field? Was he pulling those safeties away with that incredible speed that he had? And how did they not, good God, Denzel Mims, catch the goddamn ball? This dude has dropped four tonight. It is unbelievable. How have they not signed DeSean Jackson is my question, because he does the same stuff that Ruggs did and the Rams cut him. So it seems like such an easy fit. You know, you could still live in LA and drive out to Vegas. Come on, rent a place there for a couple months. True. It doesn't make sense to me how that has not happened yet, but we'll see. I mean, DeSean's going to end up somewhere before the season's over. The Saints would be good too. Just put them on a team that needs a wide receiver. But I just want to see what happens there. I want to see how the Raiders respond. Obviously, it seems like Saquon ain't getting in this game. And there's a defensive touchdown for the Colts. So that's what I want to see in that Raiders and Giants game. But stick with us when we come back. We will finish out talking about this Sunday slate. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking in
this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. False alarm, as I was saying, defensive touchdown for the Colts. Watching that play live as we're doing this because it bounced. He did not catch the ball, but Bubba and Bogman here. We are going over this slate. We just talked about the Houston-Miami game, Denver-Dallas. By the way, they said on the Thursday night broadcast, 5 Super Bowl rematches this week. Matches the most in NFL history. Colts-Jets is one of them. Then we had Denver and Dallas as another one. We had the Patriots and Panthers as one, Packers Chiefs Super Bowl I, and Titans Rams. So was that all 5? I think that was all 5. So that was all of them. But we move on here, Bub. Falcons on the road against the Saints. Obviously, Taysom Hill looking like he's going to draw the start for New Orleans. No Calvin Ridley for the Atlanta Falcons. What do you want to see in this game?
I want to see the Falcons get Michael Pitts involved. Like, I know he's a super talented guy, but putting him out there as your wide receiver one is not going to help the kid out. So they need to figure out how to actually utilize him the right way. I also want to see Mike Davis continue to get involved because they have to. We've talked about it in the last few shows we've done together that now with all these missing pieces, he's actually usable again in fantasy purposes. And then on the flip side, I want to see Taysom Hill remember that Alvin Kamara is still very good. That was a big problem in recent years. When Taysom Hill took over, Alvin Kamara became non-existent, and that is a gigantic waste of talent. So I really am curious to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, it is going to be a big one here. Like, just you got Kamara's going to get the ball. You can't not get him the ball. So it's definitely going to happen. They just can't win games without getting your best player the football. So it makes no sense. Yeah, I'm with you on the Atlanta side. I would love to see them play any defense because they have just these two stud linebackers and Fosse Olakun and Deion Jones. They are so good, but they've got nothing on the line. The secondary is rebuilding. AJ Terrell, I think, is going to be good. I think that Richie Grant is going to be good, but they just don't have much outside of that on defense. They need a pass rush so bad, but just can't put it together. So I think the Saints win that one going away pretty easy, even with a backup quarterback. Buffalo at Jacksonville. I mean, Is this it? Is this the last game for Urban here if they lose by like 25 or 30?
It should have been a long time ago, but I think you said it before that it won't be till the end of the year, and it feels like it won't be. Yeah. But because he should have been fired after last week, losing in Seattle off a bye week the way they did. Like, he right. should have been fired many times, and he's just not. So it feels like it's an end of the year thing. But I want to see Buffalo show up. Like, they kind of slugged through that Dolphins game last week, and they got the job done easily but didn't dominate. I want to see Josh Allen and company just come in and just abuse the Jags, just take advantage of them. So that's what I'm looking for.
I want to see James Robinson play, obviously, because of
That'd be great. Yeah,
my guillotine league, but I don't think he's going to play. And I think this is a Buffalo drubbing. Buffalo, one of the best teams in the AFC right now. Got to be the favorites to win it, you would think, at this point. So I don't know, man. I just think Buffalo wins this game going away, and it's not close. New England at Carolina, one of these Super Bowl matchups here. I don't know how this spread is only 3.5. Look, the Panthers play great defense. I'll say that. So I guess that's probably why they think this is going to be a lower scoring game, one of the lowest overs of the week at 41. I just don't think that the Panthers have anything on offense, which is going to set up short fields. And even with a good defense, if they're out there too long, they're going to get worn out. And we know Belichick knows what to do. Run the ball up the gut. Keep those guys moving. Keep that clock churning. Looks like it's going to be a pretty easy Pats win.
Yeah, on paper, it should be very easy. I'm with you 100% there. P.J. Walker starting is not going to help things out. Belichick will have a fun time planning for that one. It should be a lot of Damien Harris. Should be a lot of easy passing games for Mac Jones. Another W for a team that keeps shocking me week in and week out.
Yeah, for sure. The Chargers at the Eagles. Chargers slight road favorites here. They look terrible coming off their bye week. Philly looked good, but they played Detroit. So I don't know. I think this is another line that I don't really understand. The Chargers only giving 1.5. Eagles have not been good this year. And I just don't think they're going to hang in this game very long with the Chargers. The Chargers did lose this week, but you know, New England and Bill Belichick will steal a game with scheme at least once or twice a year. I think you kind of had that, but Herbert might be hitting a little bit of a wall right now.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think Philadelphia is the team to pull that nonsense, but we'll see. They need to learn how to let Jalen Hurts either throw the ball or get someone else in there. That'll be a starting point. See what they do with the running game. You have a very talented running back in Gainwell, but he's the third running back, it appears. So that's bizarre. So I don't know what Philadelphia is doing. It's a mess. I think we get a bounce back spot for the Chargers here. They go in. They should be able to run the ball down their throat with Eckler. He should be a big part of that, but then also throwing it around, maybe get Mike Williams back involved. That'd be good to see. It's been a few weeks for him, but I see the Chargers bouncing back.
I mean, all of that, right? All of that nonsense to go to Jalen Hurts and not really give him a chance. This seems like such a weird year. Like, what are they doing with Hurts? Are they trying to get him to look good to trade him? Because he's clearly not going to be the guy that comes in and takes this job and is the Eagles quarterback for the foreseeable future. I mean, even the Eagles people think that Gardner Minshew is going to get at least one start this year.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make a lot of sense. If you don't like the guy, then bench him and put Minshew in and see what he's got. You know, I mean,
100%.
I just don't understand what's happening there. Arizona at San Francisco. You know, I think before last week we would have said, well, this game is an easy Arizona win. They've already beat them once. Sure, they're on the road, but undefeated before last week. Kyler Murray's a little bit nicked up, though. San Francisco looked good last week. What are you thinking here?
I still think Arizona's the much better football team. So I'm hoping even a banged up Kyler Murray, they can at least protect him enough to make the passes. You know, AJ Green's on the COVID IL, so he can't screw it up late again, which will be good to see. But I still think the Cardinals are the class of the division, and they get the job done. Because I am not a Jimmy G believer at all.
Yeah, I think that Jimmy G might be the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year if Ben Roethlisberger goes. So
you guys might get an escalator of sadness pretty soon.
He got the Niners to the Super Bowl. Right. So he's got it in him to rely on his defense and not screw up, which, you know, is something that he can do. So he can absolutely pull off a win in this game. I think Jimmy G is a bit underrated, but I don't know. I'm with you. It's just like, you know, it's kind of like Tommy Maddox. You know, I watch Tommy Maddox and I go, Tommy Maddox is good and he can win some games, but I don't think he's going to get you over the hump. But yeah, Jimmy G had the lead. Like, they just flat out blew that lead. So, you know, and that's got to be tough for Shanahan doing it twice in Super Bowls. But, you know, I think the Cardinals win this one going away. Packers at the Chiefs. We have your boy Aaron Rodgers on the COVID list. It's okay. He's immunized. Yep. It's fine. That's the same thing as vaccinated, right?
Totally.
It's okay. I had a medicine man pray on my skin, so must be the same thing.
Same people that say pee on a rattlesnake bite.
I thought it was jellyfish sting you're supposed to pee.
Either way.
Yeah, but which doesn't, it doesn't work for either one of them.
Yeah, so. The point stands.
No, this jellyfish stung me. Well, pee on it. It's fine.
Exactly.
No. Yeah, he's got a weird fetish. But Jordan Love starting for the Packers, you know, the Chiefs trying to get right here because, yeah, they won last week, but they did not look good in that win. So what is happening with them? Can they bounce back and look good here? What do you think?
If we say it every week, don't we, Boggs? I guess it's the week they bounce back. But that I will say the Packers defense last week against Arizona showed me a lot that they can really rally together and get it going. So we'll see how that goes. I just don't know what they're going to let Jordan Love do. He knows the offense. Will they let him go? We'll see. I'm keep holding out hope that we get the Chiefs to bounce back. I feel like Kelce has a week that they make a point to get him more involved because last week he looked like he just did not care. Like the game plan wasn't there. He was just over it all, and they got to get him carried again. So I think this is a week to take advantage of no Rodgers if you're the Chiefs and make a statement, get some confidence back. But I'm kind of worried that this turns into like a 17-14 type football game.
Well, we both took the Packers against the spread.
You know? Oh, I'll take that spread because Love is going to be good enough against a horrific Chiefs defense.
And this is what I said about Love going into this game was, you know, look, he took all the first team reps during training camp and preseason and all that stuff while Rodgers was dicking around. And that's why he looked so terrible in week one, right? Because he had no practice reps going into the season, really. And, you know, I just think that I think the Packers are good enough to hold Pat and make this a close game. So maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's wishful thinking. Jordan Love looks terrible. And we all go, that is why you have Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, Jordan Love was a first round quarterback. This is the same formula that they did to replace Brett Favre. Was they drafted a guy, they let him sit for a while and then come in and rock it. So we'll see if it works for them or not. I think the Chiefs win, but the Packers cover. So we'll see. The Tennessee Titans against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Bub, what do you want to see in this one without King Henry?
I want to see Tannehill throw the ball at AJ Brown a lot and start and maybe a healthy
Jalen
Julio
Ramsey.
Yeah, I know that's the problem. So give me a healthy Julio, maybe. That'd be nice. Get him out there and involved. Fingers might see some McNichols out of the backfield quite a bit because AP ain't going to be able to do it against this team. But I still think Tennessee keeps it close. They're a good football team. But in the end, the Rams do their thing in SoFi.
Yeah, I think this is just a Rams drubbing. And this is where it all kind of falls apart to Tennessee for me. I mean, this is I think they're very overrated. You know, the defense is better than it was last year, but that does not mean it is good. I think you see so much Darrell Henderson running down the throats in the second half. It's not going to be funny because this is, you know, it's never a good time to lose your best player and losing Derrick Henry obviously hurts the Tennessee Titans, but to lose him this game where you're playing against the Rams on the road and this is a Super Bowl rematch, you know, and you want to run that ball up the gut. You want to keep Matt Stafford and company and Cooper Kupp and all those guys on the sideline. And now you can't do it. You sign Adrian Peterson off the scrap heap to try to run the same type of offense. I just don't know that it's going to work from week one. So I have my reservations about this. I think this game could look a lot like what we just saw on Sunday Night Football. So we'll see if it gets that bad. But yeah, I don't expect Tennessee to compete in this game. My Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night at home against the Chicago Bears. 22-4 record for Mike Tomlin. What do you want to see in this one against rookie quarterbacks?
It's my old joke. If you have a significant other or something, go on a date, get some brownie points. Go, hey, I had to go on somewhere on Monday Night Football night. It's a bad football team, bad football game. Steelers defense does look better. Let's see if they can take care of Justin Fields and get the job done. It's a game they should win pretty easily. I'm not sold on that because I don't believe in either offense really. So it just feels like last week was 15-10 Steelers. I see something similar this week.
Steelers are in a they're in a playoff spot right now, just so you know,
which is embarrassing. So,
whatever you say. You know, there's two sides of the football, bub. And the Steelers are one of the most dominant teams on one side, and obviously not very good on offense. I will admit that, because doesn't matter if I admit it or not, they're bad. So I understand that. Look, I'm just looking for my Steelers to pick up a win, but I think they smash Fields. You know, there are some games where he gave up. Remember him giving up against Tampa Bay, and they have a bad secondary too, just like the Steelers. I think this game is fairly similar. Hopefully for him, he learns from that game and can bounce back. But I mean, Matt Nagy having COVID might have been the best thing for the Bears, and they still ended up losing to the Niners. So we'll see how that turns out, but I expect the Steelers to win too. But we'll see. Every time I expect them to win, they lose. So there you go. We'll be right back after this to end the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys here, Endless Love, you know what that means. It's the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, if you would. Follow us all on Twitter at Bogdan Sports for me, at BDNTrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Bub, we're going to leave with this. MVP odds again. We like to look at these at least every other week. Do you know who's the odds on favorite for the MVP right now?
Is it still Kyler? Or no, it's not Kyler.
Kyler's
it's
fourth.
It's not Tom Brady. He has not got the respect he deserves.
Third.
Did they get rid of Henry since he got hurt?
Yeah, Henry's not on the list.
Josh Allen.
That's it. Plus 250 for Josh Allen. Plus 600 for Stafford. Plus 600 for Brady. So I guess Stafford's
up to second. Good for
Kyler. Also, plus 600.
So it's a three-way tie for second.
I took Brady at plus 800.
Yeah, I knew a few weeks ago Brady was like fifth or sixth still, and it was just like
leading the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. It's only going to go up. 2,650 passing yards already, 25 scores. Stafford has 22 and 24.77. Mahomes is third in yards. Murray is fourth. Derek Carr is fifth. I mean, to me, I just think it's a two-horse race, to be honest with you. I think it's Allen or it's Brady. I think those are your two options here.
I think it's fair, but don't forget Stafford, man.
Stafford was our pick preseason. So,
in that offense, there's still like what, 8 or 9 more games they're gonna play. Like,
yeah, they could get there, especially if anything happens on defense. But
I think it's Brady. Brady's gonna win because we've said it time and time again. He's not gonna stop throwing.
And I think they're gonna need Brady more than the Rams are gonna need Stafford, especially after adding Von Miller. So
very true.
I think that's what we're gonna get. But that is gonna wrap it up for us for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Look, you know, after all the stuff we've seen happen off the field, stay safe, right? Mm-hmm. So just think before you act, think before you do stuff, you know, just keep that in mind when you're out there making bad decisions, right? So,
And don't forget, they can dig it up on you 8 to 9 months later too.
It's the holiday season, man. A lot of people out there having fun. So just do it responsibly. That's all we're going to ask, but we hope you win all your bets, all your fantasy matchups. We hope everything good comes for you. We love you. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.